seeking the Lord's gracious help. In the 84th Psalm, I will read the verses 11 and 12. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. The words that settled upon my heart are these in verse 11. The Lord will give grace and glory. We notice that these words are only true of those who trust in the Lord, as in verse 12, the man that trusteth in thee. We do read in the scriptures of the Lord being kind to the unjust. They receive their blessings whether they know it or not. Mostly, we must confess, they have no idea of the hand of one who gives them all things. But these words are addressed to the Lord's people. Although it doesn't say at the heading of the psalm that it was particularly written by David, my understanding is that all receive this to be one that he penned. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Again, we have this confirmation. These things are to those that walk uprightly. And sometimes when we say these things, they are to the righteous. And then we consider our own heart and are condemned by our own nature, our own sin. But it is not enough. If we look at self, if we look within, is there not enough to trouble us? Do we not have to cry out for mercy? But this is one looking to his God. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. Just in opening the thoughts, do we not look for the sun? Do we not often say amongst ourselves when we think of the weather, what a great gift when the sun shines. How different all things can look when the sun is revealed. A sunny day, how pleasant the world can appear. And how different when the darkness comes, the cloudy, the dark day. But the Lord God is even higher and greater and more powerful than the sun. He is a sun. The sun that we look at, as we are told in the scriptures, will one day be no more. It is reserved by the word of God until that day when it will be cast away from his presence forever. So Peter writes of it in his second epistle. He says these things are kept in store. But the Lord is a sun and shield. When the Lord shines, when he shines in a heart, when those beams of love divine enter into a never-dying soul, what precious warmth there is here. And what glories are revealed when the Lord shines upon us. And he is a sun to his dear people. He does shine upon them. And how often we have the scriptures where the plea is that God would shine and shine upon Zion and plead with the Lord that he would look upon them. But there's also the spirit also of the shield. I'm sure the dear man knew what it was to have that sun that was so strong, so powerful. And sometimes, as we know, when we've been in those days when the sun has been so hot, and we need a shield. And we can see that in divine mercy there is a supply. And that's the Lord God himself. And he is our shield. And he covers us. So that sun will not be too strong that we could not bear it. We look at Jonah's case, how he had that gourd raised up to be a shade. The Lord gave it to him. It was, as it were, the Lord's blessing for him. But I want to look into these words as enabled, as helped. The Lord will give grace and glory. And in thinking upon these words, when the Lord gives grace, what are the meanings of these things? He will give grace to his people, as I've tried already to lay, as it were, a foundation here. These things are received by his own. The Lord will give grace and glory to them. And what is that first grace that we receive? We think of the call by grace, those words spoken of in the epistle. But is that not quickening grace? What a precious grace that is, to hear the voice of God when it touches our heart, perhaps for the first occasion. Perhaps those quickenings, those movings, as it were, that life that has begun. When the Lord Jesus Christ is the author of our faith, as Paul writes to the Hebrews, when he which hath begun a good work in you, he has begun it. That's his grace. Ye are saved by grace, as Paul writes to the Ephesians, by grace are ye saved. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What a grace that is. Quickening grace. Our concern, our desire, our thought is this. Have I received it? Do I know that sweet power? Dear soul, dear friend, if you have any knowledge of it at all, it is the mercy of God revealed to your never dying soul. It is this understanding that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our very actions, thoughts condemn us. Those sins of omission, those sins of commission, how we carry them out, unthinking, unheeding. But the Lord will give grace. Oh, if you're one of his, if you are to be found amongst the Lord's people in heaven in eternity, there must be a beginning. It is here on this earth. The beginning must take place in the soul. And the Lord will give grace. This is the work of his Holy Spirit. And what a mercy if we've known those movements in our soul. When the Lord says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's quickening grace, isn't it? Would you hunger and thirst after righteousness in a natural state, in your unregenerate state? I would say it's impossible. But when the Lord is at work, now there's a change of heart. This is what quickening grace brings about. A change of heart. Yes, a stirring. A time of repentance. It quickens. Now we come before one who we have sinned against. And what a blessing that if the Lord comes in that quickening power, and he will if you're his, oh, he will reveal himself to you. You will see who you have sinned against. And you will be like that returning prodigal son when he said, but I have sinned against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That's quickening grace. And I feel sure of this, that where there is quickening grace, it will go on. There will be another grace received. And that is pardoning grace. Oh, that is pardoning grace. The Lord will come and he will say yes. Where a soul is quickened into divine life, it must know pardon. Or it must know mercy. Isn't that what you seek and desire when the Lord begins in your soul? Oh, to know your sins forgiven. You plead for it. Sometimes these things can take years. And sometimes in the Lord's mercy can come suddenly. It is the way that the Lord leads. The Lord will give it, you see. It's not of man. It's not of creature. It's not of self. It belongs to God. The Lord will do it. Then these things are from him, and they come with power. For this is just like the Lord being a sun and a shield. In each there's almighty divine power, omnipotence. His arm is not shortened that it cannot save. No, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And in fact, I believe in Isaiah 59 it says his hand is not shortened. So he stretches forth his hand towards his people. The Lord will give grace. And have we received that pardoning grace? That will humble us. Oh, it will bring us to weep and mourn over our sins. But I believe it will also bring you a spirit of, though we must only call it as it were, sanctifying grace. Yes, that grace that sanctifies, sets apart, blesses now all of those things that the Lord applies to us in the way. All of those difficulties, afflictions, hardships, trials, they're all in the Lord's hand, and we see a different aspect to them, as it were. We see whence they come from, in whose hand they are. And it's from the hand of mercy. And it's His will for us. The Lord will give grace. Grace to bear it. Oh, you need grace, don't we? You and I need grace. Grace to continue. And we can think of it perhaps like persevering grace. Yes, we need that grace. But that's His grace to us. The Lord will give it. His people will continue. He which hath begun a good work in you, we were thinking of quickening grace, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the persevering part, is it not? Performing it, working it out. Yes, we don't know what may be before us. That is in the Lord's sovereign will. That is what He has ordained for us. But the Lord will give grace. Oh, that grace will be His gift to you. You will have to cry for it and plead for it. But He does give it. Does the Lord withhold any good thing? No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Does He withhold His grace? No, He is a gracious God. That will be our testimony often of Him. The grace of God revealed, received. The mercy of God enjoyed, and the comfort of God as it is poured down from heaven. Then let us see it as also a redeeming grace. And think of that power of redeeming grace. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ coming to the cross at Calvary, being brought to the time of crucifixion. And as He dies upon that cross, His blood being shed for us. See, that's redeeming grace. We can see it aligned, intertwined as it were with pardoning grace. But there is, as it were, almost as it seems, those two things side by side. There's pardon, but there's redeeming. What does it mean to be redeemed? Well, as we often think of sin being forgiven and removed, but there's more than that. Because this grace opens the gate of heaven. This grace reveals to us eternal life. This grace brings to us a knowledge not just of sin pardoned and cleansed in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we will be with Christ forever. That is the hope of His mercy, and that's a glorious grace, because that grace is far higher. It's a justifying grace, so that we can enter into the eternal presence of God with no sin against our name. Oh dear friend, don't you long for that? He will give it. It's in His hand. And when He gives it, what a blessing, what great mercy is received and enjoyed. What great comforts flow down to us. The Lord will give grace. You may be walking a difficult path at this moment in time. You may be cast down. You may have many doubts and many fears, but when the Lord gives grace, He will bring you through. Yes, He will comfort you with the knowledge of His grace. The work of the Spirit will bring this to your mind and thought, that the Lord has had mercy upon you, and bring you to look back and to see the way that the Lord has led your soul and brought you to a knowledge of himself. And though you may be walking in the dark, though you may be deep in the trial, when you look to see that quickening grace and say, ah, I must confess it. I have felt it. I do know it. That's grace. Grace. What a precious name and a precious word. I've often tried to seek a true definition of it. I've often thought that Cruden in his concordance brings us as clear a one as ever I can find. He thinks of it in three ways. Grace, the grace of God is divine. That's the first thought. And secondly, he says it's unmerited. And thirdly, he says it's the favour of God to a sinner. Those three parts are grace. That is grace. Unmerited divine favour. That is grace. Or do we not know a little of it? Has not the Lord granted us an understanding heart? Have we not felt it when he has spoken into our never-dying soul? For what he's given to us, the supply of every blessing, and I don't mean for the body, I mean for your never-dying soul, for your hope of Christ, to come and receive you and bring you into heaven in that great and glorious day that is the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will come. You see, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, says the verse. And those are the words, until that day. That in that great day, those dear ones who know this grace, quickening, pardoning, redeeming, justifying, sanctifying, yes, it will present them spotless, faultless before the Father's throne. Their names are found in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is grace. Is not the Lord gracious to us? Do we not see those many blessings and comforts? All the grace of redeeming love. All that grace sent down into a hard heart to touch it and to bring from it the love of God. To make us love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. How unnatural it seems to me. How difficult this is for me. I confess it before the Lord. But the Lord can bring it into your soul. That is his grace. It's his work. He can put it in your heart. There are those times when you feel it, when you feel your heart being granted that grace. What a grace that is, the grace of faith. Think of that grace, that the Lord implants faith in the soul. What a precious gift that is. We remember the words of one who wept, did he not, as he cried, Lord, I believe, he said, help thou mine unbelief. But he believed. And that was grace to him. He had faith, God-given faith. And that faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith is in his redeeming love. That faith is in his precious grace, eternal in the heavens. That faith is in those exceeding great and precious promises, for these are all of grace. These flow down from the presence of God. These are received as they are tokens of his love and mercy, confirmed, sealed, witness, applied. And then they're the blessing. You see, true grace will ever only reveal all that God has done for us. And should we not praise him for his grace? You see, this grace, he will give both grace and glory too. And often the Lord's dear ones have that fear of perhaps of death. You know, it is a solemn hour, is it not, to us as we think of it, the hour, the article of death. But there is dying grace. And you cannot have that until that hour comes. But to the Lord's dear ones, they will receive dying grace. Did not the hymn writers speak of crossing the river, telling the triumphs of his King? That's dying grace, dear soul. When you can say to that evil one that has accused you before the Father day and night, Ah, but look, I have received the grace of God. I know His grace. And that grace cannot leave me. It's eternal in the heavens. Whom once He loves, He never leaves, but loves them to the end. That's the grace of God. If you have ever known anything, and I too, of that precious grace, it is eternal. It isn't brief, it isn't here and now, and then it's finished with, and then it's gone. It's continual. Do we ever see it ceasing? How solemn it would be if we could think like that. Could God ever, at any time, and I would be reverent in saying this, bring about an end to His grace, to His people? Again, I cannot believe it. That cannot be. But then, surely it must be said, God is not being gracious. And that is not true. He is a gracious God. Yes. Grace. Free grace. Let us think of it in that context too. All those mercies and mercy received. Dear friends, a price was paid. That's part of redeeming grace, isn't it? The price being paid. But it's free. Did not the dear Saviour say, freely ye have received? Well, I think it was Paul, really. Freely give, he says, freely. Think of the purchase price of His dear people, of His church, of His bride, of His flock. The cost to the dear Saviour upon the cross, His own heart's blood, His life. It was His death, the sacrifice to be made. Oh, what grace is here. Oh, could we have that faith imparted that we can see the grace of God flowing down from heaven, what the Lord has done. The Lord will give grace. But I see it here as a continuing thing. Yes, it will end in glory. The Lord will give grace and glory too. You see, true grace ends in glory, does it not? And true grace is glorious. And this is glorifying grace. The grace that brings a poor sinner into the presence of God. And when the Lord can look at a soul and can say, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. You see, that now is glorifying grace. There's no spot. Again, as Paul writes to those at Ephesus, to the Ephesians chapter 5, where he says that he presents it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot nor wrinkle nor any such thing. That's glorifying grace. He will give both grace and glory too. These things are connected, they're complete. If you have received grace, and know anything of the grace of God, then you will receive glory. But it's His gift. Yes, there is a place laid up in store. There is a place in heaven in eternity. There is a place where the Lord Jesus Christ promised, did He not, that He went to prepare that place. Yes, to make it ready. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. That is grace, and that is glory. Now, these things are the hope of the Lord's dear people. These things are our desire. And if we know anything of the beginnings of grace at work, we will long for this continually. It will always seem afar off. There will be many occasions when we can say, shall I? Shall I among them stand? Those solemn words of the hymn writer, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? And then the cry from the heart, prevent it by thy grace. Preserve my soul, provide my soul some hiding place beneath my Lord the Lamb. You see, you're preserved, provided by His grace. You're given that place. It belongs to Him. Grace gives. Grace is giving. Grace is supplying. Grace is many things, as I've tried to bring out. But grace is precious, and grace is needful. All we need is grace. We are poor and needy creatures, and what a supply there is. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What grace there is here. Riches in glory. Those riches of his grace. Or do we know anything of them? Have we received any little touch? Have there not been those comforts? The Lord does come and teach his people. He will reveal himself to them. His promises to them, not to leave them nor to forsake them. That's the work of grace. The Lord has a people, and they will be with him in heaven and in eternity. John, as he wrote the book of the Revelation, he revealed that there was a number before the eternal throne of God. How came they? Well, they were there through the grace of God. The door of heaven being open for them. They had been received into heaven, and now they were with Christ, which is far better. This is grace and glory, is it not? You see, grace in its beginning, even in those early days of quickening, must end in glory. It must. I cannot believe that there is one, when the name shall be called out from the Lamb's Book of Life, shall be found not to be there. No, the power of God to save is grace. And this grace is sent down from heaven. Oh, we often think of these words, we pray for the grace of God, we read of it. May we meditate upon it. Oh, his grace. And how gracious he is to us. This will humble you. Oh, at times it will melt your soul. The Lord will give grace and glory. He will continue to do so. Yes, all the days of your life, as you continue on this earth. And think of those precious words of the dear psalmist again, David, in writing this psalm as he wrote the well-known 23rd psalm. He comes to this conclusion, does he not? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But isn't that grace from beginning to end? Goodness of God through grace. Mercy of God through grace. And then dwelling in the house of the Lord forever through grace. Grace received that has now become glory. He will give it. Oh, we pray for these blessings. How much our poor souls need them. And sometimes when we're in the dark, when faith is weak, when we see our poor selves as sinners before one who is just and holy and righteous, and we fear and tremble to come before him, you know, the Lord will bring you back. The Lord will bring you in. He will give grace and glory. Yes, the Lord will revive that faith. There are comforts in the Scriptures. Does not the dear Apostle Paul speak of the Lord as the God of all comfort? Did he not know him as the God of all comfort to him? Then what a comfort is grace. Grace received. You see, if we know anything at all of this precious grace, the Lord has had mercy upon us. Those precious things that he has brought to pass in our heart, they're all of grace. Wherever we can look at the work of the Holy Spirit of God, it is all of grace. Free grace, sovereign grace. For it is the Lord's hand, it's the Lord's sovereign will. Yes, it's his will towards his people. And think of that precious word of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his sweet prayer to his Father, he says, Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. That is grace. That's the fulfillment of grace. That is grace and glory. To look upon the glory of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the righteous at the right hand of the Father. What grace is there fulfilled, received. Oh, what glorious grace this is. how much, as I've said, our need is of this. Our need is of this work of grace. When we become weak and frail, when we begin to fear and doubt, oh, we need this grace again and again. We need it confirmed. We need those tokens of his love. But is this not the grace of God? When some sweet comfort stirs your heart, is that not the work of grace in the soul? And we need that work. And we plead for it. And how often did the dear psalmist cry unto his God for it? And he had many needs. He had many times of being cast down. And he had many afflictions as he writes of them. But the grace of God was never taken from him. Yes, he sinned. Yes, he was foolish. We can read of his iniquity. But he was forgiven. Pardoning grace was his. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Can he withhold any real good from his own people? Can he withhold any good thing from his people? It's an impossibility, I would state. I cannot believe that the Lord God could ever have in his heart or mind that any good thing could be withheld. Now, there are those things that the Lord may not give us, but we must come to this conclusion that they would bring no good to us if we had them. There would be no blessing in them. And so they're not ours. And we leave it in his hand. But there is nothing that is good that the Lord withholds. All good things he gives. Oh, how good and gracious the Lord God is. And we would conclude with this precious thought in verse 12. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You trust him for his grace. Trust him for his grace. And that is where we are. That is how we continue here below. We have to plead for his grace. Trust him for it. Pray for faith. Pray for the work of faith. But oh, that the Lord might be gracious to us. And oh, as we receive it, may he give us a thankful heart. A heart to praise him. A heart of thanksgiving. Isn't that a heart of grace? Isn't that a grace? When you can feel in your soul praise to your dear Saviour, praise to God the Father, the work of the Holy Spirit, softening your heart, bringing to you the comfort of love and mercy, reminding you of his great goodness, reminding you of each precious promise and token that you've ever received. And you can say, how blessed I am. And you trust in him for more. This is the pathway, is it not? To continue on in faith. To believe that the Lord will be gracious unto us. Oh, the Lord will be gracious to his people. And this is our cry. God be gracious. Yes, unto me. God have mercy upon me. Do we not pray for it? May the Lord grant these seekings and desirings. May he put in us a soul that seeks his grace. Or may he continue to be gracious. May he pour out of his Spirit upon us. Oh, we pray for this day, a day of grace. Don't we long for that? A day of grace. A day of increase. For grace brings increase. Yes, that's from the Father, from the Son and from the Holy Spirit. Oh, may the Lord open his hand in mercy. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Truly blessed. Blessed forever. You see, the faith that has been given to us will be one that receives the end. What is that end of faith? My glory. That's the end of faith. There the Lord God is truly the God of our salvation. Oh, may the Lord bless us with these things. We need them here below. The pathway at times is if I can speak for you and for others, it can be, we could call it an uphill struggle. That's what it seems at times. But when he comes, you'll see how much he's granted unto you. The Lord has been there. We're thinking recently of those people of Israel as they look back on those many years, 40 years that they've been in the wilderness. And the word of Moses to the dear people, thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led thee. And to think of the way that the Lord had led them, despite their sin, despite their iniquity, despite their hard heart. Yes, in spite of it. And then he had mercy upon them still. And he did not forget them. And his blessings were received, and they were blessed. And dear soul, have you and I not received these many blessings? Or has not the Lord been gracious unto us? We pray for these mercies. Oh, may the Lord open his hand. I read 85 because there's an expression of what the Lord has done. The first verse opens, Lord, thou hast been favourable unto thy land. You see this word favourable? It means, as it were, gracious. How the word has come and been made pleasant. How he has blessed. And he has blessed them in this. Verse 2 says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. The Lord Jesus Christ, coming to this earth, reveals the grace of God to a sinner. And he confirms it by his death. He applies it by his Holy Spirit. All these things are in the hand of the Lord God to us. Oh, we plead for that sweet faith to believe it. And when the Lord gives faith, or when he opens our heart and mind to say, then the blessings are received. And how truly blessed we are, and will be, and have been. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. May the Lord reveal himself to us as a gracious God. We can also close with this as the thought comes. When we come to prayer, we go to a throne of grace. Why do you go to a throne of grace? You want a supply. Would you go to a throne of grace if there was no supply? Of course not. How solemn that would be. One hymn writer wrote, that were a grief I could not bear, shouldest thou not hear and answer prayer. It's the throne of his grace. Yes, this is the place to be. And we pray for the spirit of prayer. This is the life of prayer. But it's the place where we bring our supplications, our confessions and our praises and thanksgivings. May we often be found there. It's the place where the Lord God says, he will hear, he will answer. And he hears the voice and the cries of his people. And then he opens his hand. And the grace of God flows down from heaven. Oh, we do pray for a heart to praise him. A heart to acknowledge him. Yes, that heart that knows the true gift of grace. May the Lord bless us with an understanding heart of his grace toward us, of every blessing and mercy ever received. And all may the deepest blessing and mercy be this, the pardon of our sin, pardoning grace. Amen.